Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are considering the lowly mustard seed and the leaven from Matthew 13, and also considering some ways our lives may begin to look when we apply the principles from them. Also, we love hearing your comments and stories, so email us at 4@fourthstream.com. That's the number 4@fourthstream.com.
The last time we were together, we talked a little bit about the wheat and the weeds. There's a series of things that kind of come in the wake of the sower being explained. And Jesus is trying to explain the kingdom to his disciples, and he uses these analogies, these kingdom analogies. And today we're focusing, like you said, on the mustard seed, Bernadette. And I've learned a lot about this just in the last probably 10 years because, you know, I always knew the story, but, you know, as you get older, you experience more things and you start realizing, oh, that's what he's talking about.
Yes, you go, oh, this happened in my life. That fits under this. So here's the mustard seed. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches."
Now, I've actually heard commentary on this, that the birds that nest are, you know, like not good birds. They're bad things. Mm-hmm. And I've looked at this in the wake of that and in my own life, and looked at the words that are used in these parables. And I don't think that that's right. I think what this is it's explaining what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And because it starts with a small seed, and, you know, I've thought a lot about the kingdom seed. Mm-hmm. And the kingdom seed is not, like attractively marvelous from a human perspective. Mm-hmm. It's the smallest of all seeds, the most unremarkable. And even when the plant grows up among the other plants of the field, you've got crops. But within the crops, it's almost like you'd look out into a field and you would see, you know, kind of a tree maybe 5 to 10 feet above the crops, but not a huge tree, not like an oak or anything like that. They kind of spring up, but they have a lot of shade in them. And being a hunter and having spent many hours afield, I have actual pictures of this. When you walk up to something like that and you realize that right out in the middle of this cornfield or this bean field, here's this covering that just, you know, extends itself
that
above.
Everything runs to when you come by.
Yeah, pretty much. You got that right. So there's the idea of the seed and it being small. And that's one of the things that's being brought out in this parable. And it's a constant reminder to me that the kingdom of heaven grows from small things. We're so obsessed with fame and bigness and notoriety, but the kingdom of heaven really isn't like that at all.
Yeah, and when I feel insignificant, this is a great verse for me to remember. You know, I'm not from wealth or pedigree or from a prominent, influential family, but I know from this verse, this tiny seed, me, that I can grow into having a wonderfully full and satisfying life by providing shelter.
Yeah, and see that's the picture that is in this metaphor, this mustard seed metaphor, because what Jesus is trying to explain is that the seemingly insignificant, smallest seed grows to provide shelter in the midst of the things that are going on. I mean, crops come and go, seasons happen, but you get the mustard plant, and it's there for a period of time to provide shelter. Mm-hmm. And that's what really has, gotten traction in my heart and in my mind, because it's caused me to think a lot about how I provide shelter. Mm-hmm. And that's the nature of the kingdom. You know, it's the way Jesus has sheltered me. He's come and he's basically brought me in and allowed me to nest in the tree where I can grow outside of the shelter of the sun and the elements. And I've been able to flourish so that I can become my own mustard plant and provide shelter to other people.
Yeah, one of the places I used to work, as we were talking about this, I realized ultimately we ended up providing shelter for our trainers. And we didn't set out thinking, oh, we're going to make this a place of shelter for our trainers.
Right.
However, little by little, as we applied principles that we saw in the Word, we realized it had turned into a sheltering atmosphere just by applying the little things we knew, little by little.
And it's also because of who you were, you know, in that partnership together that you were in that business that you're talking about. You are those kind of people.
Yeah, so it was interesting. it was a safe place and that they were encouraged. Also, they were trained for their jobs. They weren't left to flounder. They were cared for. For instance, we had a college student, and word got back to me that he was really trying to get into law school and having to pay for the tests and pay for the just trying to get in, whatever that word is.
Yeah.
it's escaping me. Anyway, what we realized is that he was often asking for more hours to work. And finally, someone came and said to me, I don't think he's eating very much. And so, you know, we just made that sort of happen, but not in a way that he really knew we were trying to provide.
You didn't buy him bags of groceries.
No, huh? Nothing like that.
Right.
But anyway, we watched out for him. We also watched out that no one was left to train alone because of the, you know, possible impurity or even the accusation of it. You know, no one was left to go out in the parking lot when it was dark. It was just the simple things, but it had a good, healthy atmosphere with a good sense of humor. Also, just the idea that people could feel like they had, when they did a good job, that they felt satisfied about mm-hmm. it. And these were all just little things that, you know, when you add them all together, it feels like a good atmosphere. But like I said, we didn't set out and go, okay, these are the things we're going to do. They were just little by little.
I can remember one year, and you and I were involved in starting a ranch in Central Iowa for mm-hmm. at-risk kids. And, you know, you'd bus kids in and get to know them for a week. And a lot of them came from just tough situations.
Oh, yeah, very tough.
And that first year or two, I'd get on the bus when we'd take a load back at the end of a week and then sit down with the kids or whatever, because mm-hmm. it was just part of my Jedi training and understanding what I was doing and how I was experiencing this. And I remember this little guy, his name was Jimmy. And he was just kind of an odd little guy. And all week long, he's finding stuff. I mean, he'd like dig things out of the dirt. He had all these treasures. I mean, they were not things that anybody else would have cared about, but they were like his treasures. And you could just tell that it was something out of his life, and mm-hmm. he was accumulating something. So anyway, he's sitting next to me on the bus, and we're riding back to the big city. And he's kind of, you know, I kind of put my hand over on his head and, you know, just kind of uh-huh. ruffled his head, like, you know, his hair, like I would have one of my kids. And he looked up at me and he just kind of reached down and he opened up his handkerchief or something. And he had
treasures.
He had these treasures inside of it. And he reached inside and he pulled one of them out. And it was just a little bit of metal of something. And he handed it to me.
Oh, and it was the gift. He was attached to you in some way.
Well, it was the sweetest thing because I think, you know, what God told me at the time is he said, you know, Dave, this is what shelter is all about. You have provided some shelter for this week for this kid. You've been a part of it. You've mm-hmm. connected with him personally. You've taken an interest in him. You've prayed for him. And now he's recognized that, and he's responding to you by giving this gift back to you. And it was so cool. It still warms my heart. It happened years ago, and it warms my heart. And whenever I think of that story and I think of that little bit of shelter, well, that reminds me to pray for Jimmy.
Right.
And I'm still thinking about him, I'm sure, long after he's forgotten me. But that's okay.
You never know.
Well,
you don't know. You know, caring for people at work in a personal way, you know, showing concern for the things they're concerned about, being available when they're ready to talk, you know, just not shying away from the ministry that God has put you in the center of. You know, some jobs, it's easy to see how they provide shelter, like school teachers. That's just obvious. You see that they're with kids all day and that they're sort of providing that. But I think anybody, from a manager to the owner to a peon, anybody can help at work provide the atmosphere that makes the workplace better.
I can't believe you said peon. You meant worker.
Because I've been one of those. I've been a peon.
That's funny. Well, in this analogy of the mustard seed, one thing I noticed too, it says when the seed is planted, it's smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, so there's a growing process. And that's something I think about. And as you're listening today and thinking about your own life of shelter, you know, where you've succeeded in that, where you maybe haven't provided it when you could have, it's a process. We grow into the kind mm-hmm. of a plant, which eventually becomes a tree. So the picture you get is maybe for one or two seasons while the crops are coming, you're there and you kind of grow up and you make it a little bit above the crops, and then pretty soon you become a tree, and it takes time, but eventually, you know, your ability to become a person of shelter, that grows over a period of time. So wherever you're at in your experience, your your God walk, because you never know when you're going to get called by God, you can always continue to grow toward giving shelter. And part of it is just recognizing how God is sheltering you. And when you experience the gratefulness of experiencing that for yourself personally, that makes you motivated to pass that on to somebody else.
Yeah. And not everybody. Well, so for instance, we ended up taking in a young man and he lived with us for 6 or 7 years. And, you know, our friends around us knew that that was not something they were could do or were in a position to do, but they were really helpful to us. You know, they would help with clothing or they helped buy sheets. Yes. They helped us get us set up
partners
to first have. And so that was important to me too. Or I just think that's important in the whole concept of shelter. It's not always the main person doing something. It's whatever your part is that helps you.
You may not end up having a testimonial dinner where a bunch of people stand up and say, you showed shelter. Well, God has shown me that while I may have been the smallest of all the seeds when it came to pedigree and personal history, he's placed something supernatural and invaluable inside of me that is designed to grow. And that's what I always go to back to with the mustard seed. You know, the seed is the seed of God. And intrinsically in the seed of God is not only power, but value, and it has value to God. So as I compare myself with what's going on in the world around me, that's where my value comes from. It's that core seed that has been growing inside of me that gives me grace.
Then he goes on and says, talks about another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. So tell me about the leaven, Dave.
Well, it's, you know, I did a little study on this. And a little bit of this stuff goes a long way. There are over 2,000 varieties, and it's a fungus. It's like it's a mold that feeds on natural sugars and produces carbon dioxide, and that causes the bubbles in the dough or the bubbles in the bread.
But it's why we call it leaven, because nobody wants to call it fungus.
Fungus, yeah. Hear now the parable of the fungus. But, you know, so the leaven of the kingdom, which sounds better than fungus, right, brings the necessary ingredient of life into God's recipe for honor, glory, and redemption. And while it's not a glamorous thing, it has a huge impact on the bread, because who wants a grunt eating, you know, unleavened bread all your life?
That's right.
It's like crackers.
Well, I just like what you say in there, too. About women bringing a lot of this into our world through our communities and our neighborhoods, you know, just how we live our daily lives in a way that considers others and infuses the lives around us with goodness and beauty and with Jesus. That's, you know, part of the paragraph you take off on what's here and you go off on it. I just love how it sounds.
I thought about that last night when you were making dinner and I was looking at how you got everything together and I cooked the chicken and you put everything together and I looked at what was on the plate and I thought, man, this wouldn't have looked anything or been anything like it would have if I would have assembled the whole thing.
And, you know, a little sauce with some garlic and Parmesan.
I know. It was awesome. And so, you know, it really blessed me. And we have our roles, you know, when it comes to providing shelter. Hey, Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to Forestream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we're finding hope at Forestream.com.